Yeah, lots going on.
In our world.
No matter what the devil tries to do, mm-hmm. he just messes himself up.
Amen.
you know, Elisha put it this way, more are they who are with us than those who be with them.
Amen.
And yeah, we need to speak the word of God, the yes. word of truth.
Amen.
You know, how are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. Blessed.
Get some good news. Get some sleep last night.
Yeah, really good sleep.
4 o'clock in the morning. That's normal for you.
Well, is that what time you went to bed or got up?
I think it was about 3:45 I went to bed.
Yeah. Boy.
That's normal. It really is.
Well, listen, if you're having trouble sleeping, I got a couple of scriptures for you. Psalm 127:2. And then, it is vain for you to rise up early and to stay up late at night and to eat the bread of sorrows. That means a toiling mind, the word, bread of sorrows. You eat it. The more you eat, the bigger it gets. Because he gives his beloved sleep. Then Proverbs 3:24. Proverbs 3:24 says, when you lie down, you'll not be afraid.
Amen.
You will lie down, and you will have rest.
Amen.
Because the Lord gives his beloved sweet sleep.
Amen.
And your sleep shall be sweet.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a gift from the Lord. Sleep, sweet sleep, resting sleep.
Yeah.
Not just for your body, but for your mind.
Yes.
For your soul.
Can I say something?
Something.
I walk my dogs 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and as I'm walking, you know, I'm talking to the Lord, and I release his anointing in our neighborhood, and I just start seeing a great change in our neighborhood, the calmness and the loveness with the people, and every house I walk by, I release Jesus' anointing, and I ask God to bless those houses, and I just feel his presence. It's so beautiful, 4 o'clock in the morning, walking the dogs.
Amen.
I see foxes, raccoons, possums. They just say hi and they keep on trucking.
I was turning off the lights and walking up through the living room and I looked out the window the other night. It was about 11 o'clock, something like that. And there's a coyote walking right up my front walk
and
around the side of my house. You gotta be careful when you're.
Oh, I got my Shiba Inus with me. They're good. My dogs. No.
So protect yourself.
No, God's not for that.
Okay, let's turn to Matthew 7, and we're going to get right into this morning. And, you know, God is a good, I can't get away from that. Somebody needs rest here. God is a God of rest. Jesus said, come to me. That's what you need to do. You need to come to Jesus. Mm. And he'll give you rest.
Amen.
Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He'll teach you. Take his yoke. What is his yoke? Well, he's yoked to the Father. His yoke is your gateway to the Father. Take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Boy, it's good. God is a God who wants to give rest to his people.
Yes.
He reserved a whole day for that. Mm-hmm. Your body was meant to rest, your mind and your body and your emotion, you were meant to rest 52 days out of every year. Mm-hmm. You got to rest. Unplug. I remember one time we were away and it was a time of rest for us. And I was reading some scripture and the Lord said, what are you going to do with that? I said, I'm going to preach that. He says, you're not resting. You got to rest. You got to turn it off. Just let him minister to you. So let's get into this. Let's declare our weekly confession together. We got that? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, the word is always accomplishing what God pleases. It's always accomplishing something in your life. That's why when you pray and you receive your healing and it doesn't show up, just know that it's still accomplishing
Amen.
What it was sent to do. And it will not return to God void.
Amen.
And don't quit on that.
Amen.
Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit.
Yes,
Matthew chapter 7, this is our foundational scripture for this series, no pun intended, firm foundation. But this is our foundational scripture. In verse 24, Jesus, this is his close of the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, therefore, whosoever, say I'm a whosoever.
I'm a whosoever.
Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will. Boy, that's a big statement. The Son of God, his feet are on the earth. He's standing here. He's alive in a human body. And he's saying, I will. What will he do? I will liken him unto a wise man. This word liken means you will be made into something. You can look that up. It's a really cool word. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not. Do you notice the I will is conspicuously missing there? He says, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You ever notice that these storms went on both of these houses? See, just because you built your house on a rock does not mean that you're not going to have storms come your way. You're not going to have rainy days. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have floods come. It doesn't mean that you're free from tornadoes and hurricanes. But what is determined is that you will still be standing when the storm is done.
Amen.
Jesus said it. Amen. I believe it. That settles it. Amen.
Amen.
The storms are going to come. Jesus said, the rain will fall on the just and the unjust, and the sun will shine and rise up and go down on the just and the unjust. This world is an indiscriminate world. It is a fallen world. It is a world in chaos. It has been out of whack ever since the fall. And the weather systems and everything are all a result of that fall. There was no weather before the fall. You know, the earth was enclosed in a canopy type thing that kept it at a perfect temperature, whether you were on the equator or the North or South Pole. There was, and it says when the fountains of the deep broke apart, they sent up water that was in the earth intended to water the garden. It went and broke that canopy, and we had weather systems. See, when Adam sinned, all the floodgates of iniquity and all nature took on death, it says. I'm looking forward to heaven just to smell the flowers up there. Just to look at the amazing trees and wildlife. The beauty of the animals.
Yes.
You know there are animals in heaven?
Amen.
He owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
And they talk to you too.
They talk, yeah, they can talk to you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You can communicate them with them through thoughts.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful place.
That's incredible.
You know, just get rid of everything in your life that would prevent you from being there.
Yes.
Because you don't want to miss that beautiful, beautiful place. Praise God.
Amen.
So, if you build your house on a rock, the rock, which is Jesus, and you hear what he says, or you read what he says in his word, and you do what he says, you'll be building your house on a rock, and no matter what storms come, you'll be standing when it's over.
Amen.
You know, we have examples of this over and over all through Scripture about people who stood on the Word of God, who exalted the Word of God. They didn't exalt themselves, they exalted the Word of God. And you know, look at Daniel. Right from the very first chapter, Daniel exalted the Word of God. They said, eat the king's meat and drink his wine. He says, nope, not going to do it. And he said, we won't defile ourselves with that. Whoa, that was kind of haughty. No, it wasn't. It was absolute humility because he believed the Word of God. And the Word of God already chose his diet. And the prince of the eunuch says, look, you got to eat the king's meat because you've got no skin in this game. I do. If something happens to you, my head is on the block. I'm the one who'd be head liable for it. So then he says, okay, let's work out a deal. Let's go 10 days. Look at us. We'll eat what we want, what the Bible says for us to do, what the law says. And then you can feed those guys. And then examine us after 10 days, see who comes out better. The guy did. Well, they were better than all of them. So he kept on. What happened there? Favor. What happened? Because he stood on the word.
Yes.
He stood on the word.
Amen.
Look at Joseph. You know, in Joseph's life, remember when he was young?
Yeah.
He had dreams. Yeah. He interpreted his dreams. And he said, and he went to his brothers. Now his brothers already hated him because he was the favorite. And Jacob made no bones about that. He's the favorite. And so they were jealous. They were envious. And they sold him into slavery. He said, you know, when he told them the dreams, what he did, he said, we were out in the field building these sheaves and everything. And my sheaf, your sheaves, were bowing down to mine. What was Joseph? He couldn't wait to tell them. Just to rub it in. You see, he was promoting himself, and when you promote yourself, you will be abased. Mm-hmm. What happened? He got sold into slavery.
Wow. Okay.
See, when you use your gifts to exalt yourself, something bad is going to happen.
Yeah. Wow.
But later on, when he was in prison, when he used his gifts to help people,
amen.
Look what happened.
Yeah.
He became the most powerful man in all of Egypt.
Amen.
Interpreted dreams. Now, I'll bet Daniel meditated on the life of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Interpreting dreams. Oh, you can do that? Yeah, you can do that. Wow. Joseph did it. I can do it. I have the same covenant with God that he had. Mm-hmm. Daniel probably thought, I am a Hebrew. I have the same covenant. And he meditated on Joseph's life.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw what was good for Joseph was good for him. And he started interpreting dreams. And he became the most powerful man in Babylon.
Yes.
And the storms came. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on Daniel. And the devil used every opportunity he could to try to kill Daniel. But what happened is the people that rose up against him, they were the ones who were executed. They were the ones who were banished. They were the ones who lost their positions. Why? Because Daniel held to the truth, and his house was built on the rock of the Word of God when he meditated on those scriptures, and he employed the same. You know, you can have dreams all your life, and God can give you dreams when you're a kid. But if you're not willing to say, okay, Lord, show me what that dream meant. Show me what that intuition meant. Show me what that prompting meant. Show me what that leading meant. What does that mean? And start examining people in the Bible who had those same things and apply them to your life, and God will train you and show you how to use those gifts.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Isn't that rich? And when it was all over, Daniel outlasted three kings, and they came and went, and all the evil people in Babylon, and he was made ruler over all of, became Rab Mag. He was the leader of all the Magi in Babylon. And he started teaching them what? The Word of God, the prophecies that were written in the scriptures. Hallelujah. And that is what led the wise men, the Magi, to Bethlehem. I don't have time to go there. But God honors those things.
Amen.
Aren't you glad he does?
Amen.
We're talking this morning about a firm foundation. And when I say firm, I mean firm. When God says firm, it's a massive edifice. It is something bigger than it will outlast this universe. That foundation is tied to heaven itself. The foundation. What is that? The Word of God. From God's heart to the heart of men, the pages written so we can read it, so it goes into our heart. That is a connection. That foundation is God Himself. That foundation is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. For no other foundation can be laid other than that which is laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, let me give you an illustration here. I read a book years ago called The Foundations by Derek Prince. And he lived in a house in Jerusalem many years ago. And this house was built by an Assyrian guy who got a license to build from the city, a two-story building. And they laid the foundation, they built the house. And when he got up there, he said, you know, there's a pretty good view here. If I could get a little higher, it would be good. Not only that, but I could make more income by renting out those rooms too if I built another floor on this. So he built another floor. And while Derek Prince was living in that house, you all know who Derek Prince is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Derek Prince, a minister of the gospel for years and years and years, New Testament scholar, his book called The Foundation Series, and just, he's written like 400 books, I guess. But while Derek Prince was living in that house, on one corner, the whole foundation went. Because the foundation could hold two floors. But without permission, he built the third floor, thinking he could make more money, he could do better, thinking that he could offer more. And everything. No. You've got to have a solid foundation. There is no shortcuts.
Amen.
In the Lord.
Amen.
There's no fast tracks to a position. There's none of that. No. But it's not the same as the world where you've got to work and toil and everything. No. God gives gifts and callings. If you simply do his word,
amen.
What does it say? Exalt her and she shall promote you. Wisdom is doing the word of God. I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. What does wisdom do? Embrace her, she will exalt you. It's doing the word of God is wisdom.
Amen.
That's what Jesus called it. So, don't try to think that if God gave you one thing to do, don't try to add to it. That's what that's saying to me. It's saying a number of things to me. But build on a solid foundation. Now, the rock that Jesus is talking about, he mentioned this to Peter. Go to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 13. We'll start there. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You ought to think Jesus cared what men were saying. But he wanted to know what they... Has the Lord ever done that to you? And said, what do you think about this? I've had the Lord do that. What do you think? I said, what do you mean? I want to know what you think about it. Jesus said that to his disciples. And they said, I just want to know what you think about that. it'll open up a discussion and a way for the Lord, an avenue it'll open up to give you revelation. But Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. John had been beheaded by this time. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say I am? Do you remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts? They were exorcists. They were Jewish men. They were exorcists. They cast out demons. And they tried to cast this demon out of this one guy. And they said this, we adjure you by Jesus Christ who Paul preaches that you come out of this man. You know what the demon said? He said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know, but who are you? And they beat the snot out of those exorcists. Seven of them, and they ran away naked and said. Amen. You gotta know who Jesus is, and he's gotta know who you are. Yeah. You've gotta have a revelation of who Jesus is. Who do you say I am? Who do you say that he is? Because you only know who you are in Christ when you know who he is.
Amen.
That's when you begin to understand who you really are, what you really have, what you can really do, and where you are seated, the authority that you have in this earth as long as you're here.
Amen.
Thank you, Alicia. Amen. I got a nod over here, too. That's encouraging. He said, but who do you say that I am? In verse 16, leave it up to Peter. And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. This is Jesus saying, you're blessed, blessed. Because you got a revelation from the Father.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It didn't come to you from some man. It didn't come to you from some preacher. This came to you from God.
Amen.
And you're blessed. That means empowered.
Amen.
That means that if you got a revelation of something, nobody can jerk it out of your hands.
Amen.
You know, amen. Hallelujah.
There are certain things that I've come to know, and they came to me by revelation of the Holy Spirit when the scripture came to life inside of me, and there's nobody who can talk me out of it.
Amen.
Nobody can talk me out of it.
Praise God. Hallelujah. There,
that's something God gave to me, and I know it's true.
Hallelujah.
It is the truth.
Hallelujah.
And it made me free.
Amen.
And nobody can take it out of my hands, out of my heart, out of my mind.
That's
it
right.
Changed me, and I know it's the truth.
Amen.
It is,
that is right. Hallelujah.
Realer than real.
Amen.
It
praise
is eternal.
God.
Amen.
And
praise
it goes
God.
Way past change, time, or anything like that. It's not subject to any of that. It is eternal, and it lives big in me.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Glory to God. So Simon Peter had said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had a revelation of who Jesus really is.
Amen.
And just a chapter later, when they were at the Mount of Transfiguration, now they saw, Peter, James, and John saw who Jesus really was. And he was transfigured before him, whiter than the sun, light, brighter light than the sun, than anything. Then Peter opens up his mouth again, thinking that Jesus would call him blessed. You know. Anyhow,
hallelujah.
Let's see. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah." That's what Bar means. You see, I remember reading in the book of Acts about this guy, Elymas, that was following around Paul and Barnabas. And he was really called Bar-Jesus. He was claiming to be the illegitimate son of Jesus. Can you imagine that? Anyhow, Paul called a cloud to come over him, and he was led away blind. Did you know that you can refute? And that with you, he was blind for a season, it says. He says, oh, you child of the devil, and all of subtlety. He said, the hand of God is upon you, and you will be blind for a certain season. And a cloud came over, and he was blind. Do you know that you have precedent right there in the Word of God for protection? Not from you, but for the gospel and the power of the gospel to move forward. You have these things.
Amen.
Available to you. You have precedent in the Word of God, and you can call these things forth. You don't want to hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. You don't want to judge anybody. But when they're coming against the gospel, it's pretty clear.
Amen.
That they are dead set against God. They are dead set against Jesus. The Holy Spirit will empower you in certain ways. Just be open in those times. That's all. And then in verse 18, and Jesus said, blessed are you. And he says, and I say to you also that you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, we don't have the advantage in the King James or several other translations about the Greek words that are used here. But he said, you are Petros. That means you are a chip off of the, you're a piece of rock. You're a piece of the rock. And he said, and upon this massive rock, pointing to himself, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Amen.
Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man he was the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples, how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine you taking the Lord aside and rebuking him? Rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto you. And he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you savor not the things of God, but those things that be of men. Now, he just told him how blessed he was that he received a revelation from God. What I'm raising here is a point. So quickly, so subtly, our feelings get in the way about something, our thoughts start to change, and boom, the devil's right there. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Oh, I'm sorry. Those things of men. And Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, get your feelings, get your opinions, get your philosophies, get man's religion out of your mind, out of your life. Yeah. If you're going to follow me, take up your cross. What's the cross? The covenant. The new covenant. Take up that covenant and walk with me. In other words, crucify your flesh. Your flesh that has feelings. Oh, Jesus, I don't want you to ever leave me. Why are you talking this way about yourself? Nobody can kill you. I mean, you raised the dead.
Amen.
You heal lepers. I mean, come on. Why are you talking like this? The only reason Jesus came into this earth was to get to that cross. You see, man was the key figure in the fall. So man had to be a key figure in the redemption. Do you understand that? The legal entry into this earth is to have that body, is to be born into this earth and to have that physical body. Jesus needed that body to get to the cross. So that's why he came into this earth, to get to that cross, to have that body so he could get to that cross and fulfill God's plan of redemption. That was his heartbeat for his entire life. He knew what it was. He knew, and when the road started pointing there, he didn't need Peter to say, come on, Lord, please don't do that. Jesus was still a man. He still had feelings. He had emotions. He was able to be tempted in all ways that we were, the Bible says. And this was an offense to him, because he savored the things that be of man and not of God. So then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and walk with me. Follow me. And whoever will save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. You know, nobody had to tell me. When I was playing in rock bands, it was a successful life financially for us and everything. We were traveling, we were having a great time, and but it was filled with rot and sin. And so it was a sin-soaked life. Nobody had to tell me that I had to get out of bands. Nobody had to tell me that my profession was standing in the way of me growing. You know what I did? I took it all and threw it away. I said, look, I'm out of here. I gave them a certain period of time, but because they had to replace me and get somebody else. They're like the singer, she had kids. I mean, they were all dependent on it. If I just left, they would have been out of work for at least, who knows how long before they found somebody. Doesn't happen in a music business where you just find somebody with a similar style and the same type of, doesn't happen, but it happened within a week. They got a guy, and within about a month and a half, I was out of there. I gave him 6 months. God got me out in 6 weeks.
Amen.
And I did it honorably, as unto the Lord, because I wanted them to know that Jesus loves them.
Amen.
But nobody had to tell me I had to get out of that. I had to change my profession. A profession, all I could see was all, we were heading for good things.
Amen.
Nobody had to tell me. Once you hear from God, you're fixed.
Yes. Amen.
And you can do whatever. Take his cross and follow me.
Praise God.
That way you're building your house upon a rock. And the rains will come, and the floods will come, and the winds will beat on you. But when it's all over, you'll be standing.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
But look how quickly that changed. Blessed are you, Simon. Satan. Both coming from the Lord. Who shifted there? Not the Lord. Peter did. Mm-hmm. How quickly we can get nudged off of that rock of revelation, of knowledge, when God shows you something and empowers you and you feel so strong. Within minutes, that can shift over and you're following Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have that revelation, look, you need to understand something. Once you start following Jesus, don't look back.
Yes.
Don't look to the side. Mm-hmm. Don't look to the right or to the left. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Because where your focus is, that's where your treasure is. Amen. And where your treasure is, the person of Jesus Christ, he will launch you into a life that's worth living. Mm-hmm. He will launch you into a life that is the most exciting life available to mankind.
Yes.
You need to know that.
Amen.
And you need to pursue that.
Amen. Amen.
And Paul had all of these accolades. I mean, we see his pedigree listed in Scripture. I was this, and this, and this, and this. And he says, you know what I did? I counted it all dumb. Pretty descriptive.
Yeah.
He considered it something you find on the stable floor. How's that for descriptive? What are you building on? What are you building your life on? What are you building your future on? Let me just challenge you with this, because look, we all need that.
Yeah.
We all need to know that if God wants us to take a turn or a fork in the road, when you come to fork, take it. Follow the Lord.
Amen.
You know, are you easily distracted? Peter was.
Yeah.
Are you easily distracted? It says when we're all tempted in all certain ways. Mm-hmm. Turn to the book of James chapter 1. Do you want to receive like a crown of righteousness or a crown? It says that you will if you endure temptation. There's always a reward for following Jesus. It's all good. I didn't have this one listed. No, that's two. Verse 13. Oh, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. This isn't just living, this is not just receiving eternal life. This is wearing a crown and reigning in life. Who endures it? For when he's tried to receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised them that love him. What does that tell you right there? If you love God, you will endure temptation. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. This word tempt means test, tempt, or try. God doesn't tempt you. In fact, he tells you to lead us not into temptation. God doesn't tempt us, test us, or try us. The devil does.
Yeah.
He's the tempter. But every man, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. God loves you. My beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We've got a solid. There's no shadow of turning with God. There's no variableness with him. What he said, he said. What he means, he means. And he gave us an absolute solid word of God. Follow me. Boy, let those words just echo. Are you following? How do we know that we're building on the rock? How do we know? Well, are you easily distracted? Are you easily moved off of this? Look. When Peter got that revelation from God, there's a twofold thing here. Yes, it's a revelation of who Jesus is. But it's the revelation itself. Revelation knowledge is the one that's what reveals the keys of the kingdom, that turns the key, that unlocks the power of God to kick in the gates of hell. Revelation knowledge. And he said, that's what I'll build my church on. Revelation of who I am and the revelation itself that's working in your life. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Enlightening your eyes and your understanding and revealing the power of God, the same power that he raised Christ from the dead with, that dwells in you, producing, pushing, empowering you to go on to the place where not even death is even a threat to you. And if the world rejects you, it's a badge of honor.
Amen. Thank
you, Jesus. Don't look at men. Like Dwight was sharing this morning, if you look at men and receive praise from one another, how can you? Jesus said, how can you believe you who receive honor from one another and not the honor that comes from God alone? Yeah. Get in your prayer closet. Close the door behind you. And when God sees and sees, he will reward you openly.
Amen.
There's a lot of different messages in here, so it's kind of scatterfire right now. But get what you can.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because it's coming at you in full barrel.
Amen.
You follow men, you're going to fall short. You're going to be confused. You're going to end up hurt and lonely. If you follow God, you'll be building your house on a rock, and it doesn't matter what the world says.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what winds come. It doesn't matter, because they can destroy everything in the world, but they're not going to destroy you.
Amen.
You will be still standing, and when the fire hits their stuff, boom, with hands double.
Hallelujah.
When the fire hits you, it's going to reveal all of the gold and silver and precious stones.
Amen.
It's going to reveal who, how strong you really are.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Standing up and say, and then you'll be just as surprised as anybody else. But the Lord will say, that's me. I did that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And you're yoked.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you cannot fail.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. You get that?
Yes.
Amen.
You get that?
Jesus.
Yes.
The keys of the kingdom unlock the power of God that kick in the gates of hell. And they destroy the plans. His works are already destroyed. But his plans are still in full force. And he'll use everything. He destroy the plans of the devil. You see, here's the thing. When Daniel, when the people came against Daniel, these guys are filled with jealousy and filled with envy and everything. And then all Daniel did was the word. He didn't come back against them. All he did was the word. And the light in him exposed the darkness in them.
Yes.
And they were the ones who were executed.
Yeah.
Now, what does that do to the devil? Yep. You got to think about this. What's going on behind the curtain?
Yep.
Now the devil has to work. All of his stuff is ruined. His people are gone. Now he has to raise up a whole new crew of jealous idiots who are all full of themselves to come against him again. And I'll tell you what, if you really want to hurt the devil, and you really want to hit him hard, just keep doing the word.
Amen.
The word will expose his disciples.
Yes.
The word will expose the disciples of Satan, and the light will light you up.
Amen.
And you will be in a place,
amen,
that is immovable.
Amen.
Therefore, might be steadfast and immovable always. What does it say, Amy?
Abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Your labor,
amen,
is,
amen,
not in vain in the Lord. This,
amen,
may, this may be a disciplined thing first to read the Word of God. There was a time I was working, it was in Connecticut. I didn't say, I was just filled with the Holy Spirit for about 6 months. And I was living in an apartment in North Haven with my brother. And I was working at this warehouse called Giltex. Anyhow, but my favorite thing to do in the afternoon was to come home. I would get out at 4 o'clock and I'd come home and I get out my Bible and just start reading and fellowshipping with the Lord and reading and fellowshipping with the Lord. And it was so good. I couldn't wait to get home to do that. Now, this is where God wants us. What was I doing? I was building a foundation of truth in my life. Building a foundation on the rock. A foundation that has stood even though I failed so many times and messed up big time. Even though, you know, I turned left and turned when I shouldn't, and I was confused and everything, but what I did, I was still building. And what I did have, I just did. I just worked it and worked it and worked it. And at that time, I was getting songs in the Lord, like 5 and 10 at a time in a week. I was getting all these things from the Lord, and the Lord was showing me things. I was getting words of knowledge and prophecies. That's where our focus needs to be.
Amen.
Amen.
That's where our life is.
Yes.
That's the menu,
yes,
that is before us. And that's the food where we eat.
Praise God.
That's the pools we drink from.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I look down at this, I'm going to get a lot more, and it's 3 till lunch.
3 till lunch.
This is lunch.
Yes. This is a food.
Thank you, Jason.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. You have a good lunch today?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't forget, God is for you all the time. You may have beaten yourself out of the, you may think you're out of the race. You've just begun.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void. We thank you it will accomplish in us those things that you sent it to do. And we receive new vision, new life, new power, new empowerment, new revelations from your word so that we can apply it. And when we see somebody in the Bible who overcame things, we'll apply those things to our life. And we will exalt your word, and your word will exalt us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're dismissed. If you need